it that Mary Peters has beaten Rosendahl and the rest for the gold medal.
Mary Peters, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
When was the first time you saw the recordings of, you know, the TV? It might not have been as easy then to see, you know, if you're winning your gold medal.
Oh, I didn't see it for years afterwards, you know, because we didn't have recording machines in those days.
You couldn't have just walked into the local TV station and said, play that for me? Because at that time, you could have asked for anything and gotten it, I would have thought.
I wouldn't have been so bold.
No, so it was a while then before you were able to enjoy it the way we all did.
And then somebody got me a copy of the tape and I've been watching it ever since.
We were just talking about the commentators used to be so reserved. They weren't very reserved when you were coming down the home straight there.
I know. Ron Pickering was a great friend and he just desperately wanted me to win.
But it was brilliant because he personalised it all, you know. Come on, Mary. And everybody else was jumping up and down and at their TVs, you know, going bananas, you know.
It was amazing. And it's amazing 40 years on. Can you imagine? Where have those years gone?
Terrific. I watched the documentary about you last week. We didn't realise you were training in such, I mean, basically primitive facilities, I suppose, compared to what the athletes do now.
It was, and of course I worked full time, so it was a hobby. I just did it after work. But I was lucky enough to win a Churchill Fellowship, which allowed me to go to America for 6 weeks. And there was sunshine. There were lots of very good tracks. And I didn't have to work all day and then train. So it was a great bonus at that time.
But, I mean, you were probably at odds with the background with people you were competing against. Maybe were they more or less full-time athletes?
Oh, they were. They were all sponsored. The girl who was second was West Germany. She got a lot of money to prepare, and so did the East German, who was third. And, of course, there were many Russians. There were others that didn't get financial support, but we were all in it together, and we were all great friends, which was another bonus.
And it's the thing that strikes me, even when you watch that old TV coverage, you were all sort of standing in a huddle, more or less arms around each other waiting on the results coming in. It did seem that there was a whole camaraderie, you know.
Well, they were all the English-speaking girls wanting me to beat the Germans.
In Munich as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it like, Mary, when you realised the effect that it had back home?
I had no idea until I stepped off the plane in Belfast because, you know, they had a gold Rolls-Royce, they had a band playing congratulations, and then they were going to take me through from Aldergrove down into the city where they'd put up welcome home signs, but I didn't get to see any of them because there'd been a threat to my life and they said if I came home I'd be shot. So they took me on a different route round through the countryside. But then I did go down Royal Avenue on an open top bus and that was magic.
Yeah, and you can still see the footage of that. I mean, the whole town turned out for you.
It did.
But, you know, it's funny, you may have been oblivious when you were running, you know, and trying for that extra meter or trying for that extra yard in your events. I mean, everybody was just hanging on everything you did.
I know, and David Hemery was competing that night, not David Hemery, David Bedford, and he had said in the headlines in the paper, stay at home and watch me win gold tonight.
Yeah.
And sadly for him, he was seventh, but they were all watching and I came on. And, the Prime Minister was there to celebrate with him and he had to do that with me. That was Ted Heath.
But it had such an impact here in Northern Ireland, you know, among the people, which was a very bad time for us as well.
72, there were nearly 500 atrocities and deaths, you know, and people were depressed at that time. So it was good news coming. And although I was competing for Britain, I was also very much competing for Northern Ireland.
Oh, yeah. No, we knew that. Golden Girl. I can still see the headlines in the Telegraph and everything else. The thing about you winning, you would like to think it kick-started thousands of other kids trying to do it. Was there any knock-on effect? Or did we not have the support and the infrastructure to support any, you know?
We didn't have the facilities, but that's why I set up the Mary Peters Track Fund to raise money to build a track. I've just been there now to see how it's developing because Belfast City Council is spending £3.5 million on upgrading it.
Yeah.
And it'll be for the generation of those to come, like Katie.
Yeah,
Katie here, who's you're going to talk to in a minute. And, you know, there are a lot of athletes, but there's also an awful lot more sports people out there. We give about 150 grants every year through the Mary Peters Trust to the up-and-coming next generation. And they're all beautiful people who are travelling the world representing us in judo, cycling, triathlon athletics, hockey, you name it, they're out there doing it. And although we read in the papers all the time about the kids rioting on the streets and drugs and all that, there are more people doing positive things with their lives.
Yeah. No, I mean, I see it. And kids football would be my interest outside of here. And I mean, you see thousands of kids every week, and they're all, and they're there for the football. And you'll see the kids playing rugby or Gaelic, whatever it is, you know. And they're not all stuck in front of PlayStations, you know, despite what we hear. But the opening ceremony now, what was that like to be part of that? Because, I mean, it looked amazing. And even grizzled old hacks who were watching it, trying to get something to criticise, couldn't find anything to criticise about. I thought it was terrific.
It was wonderful. I was privileged to meet Danny Boyle that morning. We had a rehearsal. And
the honour was all his.
I mean, he was so nice and so natural. And he didn't take any fee for doing that job.
He didn't?
He said he wanted the money spent on the children of the boroughs around and about to go and watch the Olympics.
It was terrific. I mean, Danny Boyle is a filmmaker, but you can often find your life takes you off on a tangent and you end up doing something that maybe you were really meant to do. And that looks like that was the thing he was meant to do. It was just so perfect.
And there were so many exciting things happening that you almost missed them, because while they were doing one thing at one side of the stadium, there's something else exciting happening at the other side. I thought the music was great. I thought our young people standing on the Giants Causeway singing
it was
wonderful.
Hairs on the back of the neck material watching that, you know.
And so many of us who have competed at Commonwealth Games, and the national anthem is the Londonderry Air, and to hear that being recorded around the stadium was wonderful.
And so the very well kept secret, I mean, the bookies were going bananas because there was money on various personalities who were going to be lighting the flame, and it turned out it was done very differently. So yourself and other Olympic icons, you had to nominate a young athlete, was that it?
That's right. Seb Coe rang me about 3 weeks ago and said, we'd like you to be in the final part of the opening ceremony. I went, oh, wow, why me? And I was his team manager when he won his gold medals in Moscow and Los Angeles. And he said, you were so good to me at that time, and also you're good to my father, and I would like you to be one of those represented. And he explained to me that there were going to be seven of us, and that we had to nominate a young person from our area who we felt was a star of the future. And they had to be about 17 or 18 years of age and talented.
Yeah. So this is where we bring in Katie. So how did you come to know Katie or know about
her? Well, Katie's one of the athletes that my trust has supported, but I knew her dad when he was an international athlete as well, Mark Kirk. And I couldn't tell people why I needed to know all these young people's names. So I rang the office and said, give me half a dozen names of people and photographs of those who could in the future represent Britain at the Olympics. And they have to be this age. And I had no doubt in choosing Katie.
Oh, so Katie, what is your event then?
I'm a 400 metre runner.
Yeah.
So that's one lap of a track for those who maybe aren't so familiar.
And, what time are you clocking at the moment?
Last year, I've been injured this year, unfortunately, so I've only raced a wee bit, but it's nice to kind of be back racing a bit. But last year, I ran 53.69, and that ranked me top in Britain. Yeah. And when I ran that race, that was in the UK trials, for the European Championships. And that was actually a championship record, so that was the fastest time anyone had ever run in that race in the...
Well, it all sounds good. Anyway, is the injury serious?
Not too serious. Achilles problem, it's something that a lot of athletes get, and it's hard to get rid of, and it's probably something that will be a weak point for me. But as an athlete, you just have to work on it, keep up on all your exercises and your rehab and strengthening and stuff, just to make sure.
Yeah. And how old are you?
Okay. I'm 18.
You're already speaking like an old campaigner. really. So, what are the targets? I mean, the next Olympics, would that be a realistic target for you?
I think it is realistic. I'll still actually be quite young then, so I don't really know how I'll do, but I'm hoping that'll kind of be maybe a development stage for me, and then I'll maybe go on to the second, the next Olympics after.
I mean, is there a scenario, Mary, where they take the likes of Katie along and say, no, not realistically a medal hope, but the experience will do her good just to go and soak it all up? Can you use a place like that?
No, you would have to do a qualifying standard. Yeah. Or Katie could have been, perhaps if she had been a little faster in in the relay squad.
Yeah.
But it's the whole experience of being in the Olympic arena. I mean, next time around, she could be there as a competitor.
Yeah.
I was 33 before I won my medal, so you've got loads of years ahead of you.
You were 33, but that, I mean, you know, to be fair to you, that says more about you, because that's old, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But mature.
Yeah,
I had the experience of two previous Olympics. I'd also been to all around the world competing, and therefore I think you build your confidence. And it's overpowering going into a stadium with so many people, isn't it, Katie?
No, it is.
And especially when they're all cheering for you, which is wonderful.
But is it a thing that can take you by surprise if you've been training, you know, at the Mary Peters track, or you've been out doing your road work or doing stuff in the gym, and all of a sudden you're in a stadium with 10 of thousands of people, does it change things for you?
Oh, absolutely. Some people can cope with it wonderfully well, but some people get really very nervous. I used to get very nervous that I would have tears running down my cheeks when I was on my blocks ready to go.
Yeah.
But that gives you adrenaline flow, which gives you more spurt in your stride, and fear makes you run faster sometimes.
I would always say adrenaline. Like, I cope with like kind of pressure quite well, and sometimes it helps as well having the pressure on you, because like I can pull it out of the bag if there's a little bit of pressure, but sometimes if there's not, it's harder to run fast, I think. So nerves are good.
So what was it like when you actually had to go and light the flame then?
To be honest, I couldn't, because the crowd was all kind of dark, so it didn't really feel like there was that many people actually in the stadium. But it was only afterwards.
Or a billion people watching around the world.
Yeah. I think if I thought about it, I probably would have ran off and not done it. Just had to not think about it.
Yeah, but it was.
It was a very proud moment for all of us to be able to hand on to the next generation. And as soon as we handed the torches to the young people, we all hugged each other.
Yeah.
Because it was a power and strength that we felt that night, being, as it were, the old hands, those that had achieved what everybody dreams about if they're in sport.
It was really, I mean, the symbolism, everything was there. You've been there, you've done it, you won your gold medals, and you're handing it on to the next generation. It just couldn't have been scripted any better, you know.
It was wonderful.
And we saw the hug you gave Katie. And it was like, I thought you were going to sort of squeeze. But, you know, real genuine, you know, it just looked like a great moment.
It was. And, I was never fortunate to have family of my own. But to have the choice of a very attractive young lady to pass on the flame was just lovely.
There's been a lot of comments about that hug. Everybody kind of said ours was the best, so we should be proud of that one.
It wasn't just, you know, let's go through the motions. It was such a real, you know, emotional hug, enthusiasm. It just, you know, it was noticeable, you know, it really was.
I would probably say the rehearsal that we did first was probably a bit more emotional for me, because I think I was so scared on the actual night I couldn't even think about it.
We had never met until that moment.
You're joking
at
me.
The rehearsal, no.
We have. One and a half, apparently.
Right, okay.
And from a distance as well, so.
Yeah.
Apparently you warmed my feet at a cross-country race in my pram, apparently.
Yeah. There you go.
My mum was telling me that earlier, like we were talking about this last night, so.
Yeah, that's lovely.
So, Mary, what lies ahead of Katie? Is it a life of dedication? She's got to, you know, steer clear of all kinds, I mean.
No, she's got to enjoy every day. I've had the most fulfilled life. I'm 73 now. And every single day of my life, I have something exciting or something interesting happen to me. And I think that this is the path that Katie will take.
Yeah, you ready for it?
I hope so. But it does, I mean, I think the life of an athlete sometimes is a bit lonely, but I'm prepared, I think, for that anyway.
No, but the friendship you make, I mean, I was talking to Mary Rand on the phone, and we shared a room in Tokyo Olympics, and she won a gold, a silver and a bronze at those Olympics, and I was fourth, and that's nearly 50 years ago, and we chatted on the phone the other day as though it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You never forget those magical moments, and you'll meet up with those young people that you shared that moment
with. I know, I hope so. We're kind of joking about a reunion in Rio whenever we're all there, but we'll see.
That'd be lovely.
Is it easier for a young athlete if you surround yourself with other athletes? Rather than a peer group who want to go out partying and, you know, and are saying, oh, you going training again? Oh, don't be doing that. Come with us, you know.
No, I think you have to be very single-minded. I mean, Katie will have to dedicate herself if she wants to be a success in sport, as all these young people do that are at the Olympics. But it's the magical experiences of opportunities of travel to other countries, yeah, and the friends you make and the people you meet and the characters you meet. And we wouldn't have been here chatting to you today if we hadn't been
good. Oh, you lucky ducks, I know. But, you know, it's a certain life path that you're choosing, really.
Yes, but she knows through her dad, having been an international athlete, that it's not all easy and there will be ups and downs along the way. But he's helping her to realise her dream now.
Yeah. Getting your time, you're doing about 53, you said it was 53 seconds. What do you need to get it down to?
Well, to be honest, I don't think I'll ever make it as a world-class 400-metre runner. My aim's always kind of been to move up to 800 metres, because I am quite short, apparently. So hopefully, to get top-class, you know, world-class 400-metre runner, you need to be breaking 50 seconds.
Yeah.
For 800 metres, you need to be breaking 2 minutes. And I really feel like I can break 2 minutes for 800 metres. Nobody in Northern Ireland's done that yet. So maybe I'll be the first, we'll see.
Maybe you will. What is the pool of talent like at Katie's age, you know? I mean,
in Britain there'd be a lot of young people who would be of a good standard, but you know, the cream always comes to the top.
Yeah. We'll be watching out for you, Katie.
But you know, in September we're having a great celebration of my 40 years in the Opera House, and we're going to have lots of stars there, like Stephen Redgrave and Kelly Holmes and Daley Thompson and David Hemery.
All your mates.
All my mates, but also great stars on the stage that we've got.
Yeah, I'm just Brian Kennedy, Paddy Keelty, Barry Douglas, Peter Corey, Eamon Holmes is going about coming over, Gloria Honeyford, Jerry Kelly, and Van Morrison. Mm-hmm. That's some lineup. But again, it's tribute to yourself.
Well, we hope we'll raise a lot of money for the Mary Peters Trust so that we can give more money to all these young aspiring athletes of the future.
Do they need more and more support?
Absolutely. When you look at the world stage, so many countries give a lot of money in supporting athletes. When you get to a certain level, you can get lottery funding, but until you get to that level, it's very hard, isn't it? It's a struggle.
Oh, it is hard. I mean, you kind of get bits here and bits there, but for people, a lot of the people who actually are successful, and this is quite sad, it's the people whose parents are willing to support them and have the money to support them. So I think it is really important to support the people that maybe don't have that behind them.
Are there any young aspiring athletes who are maybe doing very well in school but just don't come to the attention of the likes of our selection committee, or, you know, the yourself, or, you know?
I think it's important that they join a club. If they're good at school, they should join an athletic club, and then there's lots of competition for them, and that's where they would meet the right people to help them on the way. I wasn't born in a star. I had to work really hard, but I was very lucky that I met the right people along the way to help and support me and get me on that next ladder, and they gave me the opportunities and I took them.
Well, that's it. Make the best. You get the opportunity and then just grab it with both hands. No. So again, I'm saying the big do. I don't want to, you know, but this is an extraordinary thing, because we did get press releases about this a while ago. So it's in the Opera House. What date is that?
2nd of September. It's a Sunday, therefore the Opera House have been very generous in giving it to us at a good price. And we're having a flyby, or chartering a plane to bring all the people across from England to be part of
it. It's a who's who of entertainment and sport. Tessa Sanderson. I mean, David Hemery, I remember watching him. Was in Mexico 68. Yep. I remember watching that. I was only 7. I remember it because the event was on in the morning. We were watching it before we went to school, because it was a big, there's TV on in the morning. Mm-hmm. It was a big novelty then.
Yeah.
But I mean, David Hemery, that's Jane Torval.
Yeah, and Christopher is going to be in America seeing his children, so he might not be able to make it, but Jane's flying in from France.
Yeah, and Daley Thompson.
I know Daley needed a little bit of persuading, because he's not a poser, but he sat with us. He sat with us at the in the green room waiting to go out to the stadium, and he says, "You know that 200 metres you ran?" He says, "I still get goosebumps thinking about it."
Yeah.
And I think, my goodness, Daley Thompson saying that, you know, and it's lovely. But he's coming. He's definitely coming.
Yeah, he's a turn.
He's funny.
He really is. He managed to be funny and seemed to be casual, but he was still the best athlete in the world, kind of thing, you know.
I know.
Terrific. Well, listen, Dame Mary, thank you for coming in. Katie, We hope we're interviewing you in 4 years, 8 years about your medal around your neck, you know. Okay. Listen, thanks very much. I was asking about your favourite piece of music. We did ask you sort of by email last week. And why have you chosen? I thought, you know, well, obviously it's the Olympics all over. It's sport,
isn't
it? But
it's iconic, isn't it? And because I had the pleasure of meeting Rowan Atkinson, who did that funny piece at the opening ceremony, it has to be Chariots of Fire.
Mary, thank you. Thanks, Katie.